Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, bonjour. In Spain, hola. In Italy, ciao. In Egypt, ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, akwaba. In Nigeria, peleo. In South Africa, sawubona. In Senegal, nangadef. In Kenya, jambo. In Israel, shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Tune in to Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn you into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
Grand Rising, and thank you all for joining us for another Thursday morning edition of Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. I'm your co-host, Naima Latif, and we want to talk about an issue that is all too common among people wherever you live, be it city, country, suburbs, wherever: domestic violence. Basically, that means violence happening in your house. And there are many of us who've grown up with domestic violence, and because we've grown up with it, we see it as normal behavior. One parent gets angry at another, and someone throws a punch, and next thing you know, there's a full-blown fight. Now, often these situations are exacerbated if someone is out of their right mind because they are using some other substance, alcohol, drugs, some mind-altering substance that makes them respond aggressively. It's interesting that we often don't make the connection between people drinking and fighting and people will have happy gatherings in which they serve alcohol, and a fight breaks out. Why are they surprised? Well, certainly if you are altering your brain chemistry and you're not in your right mind, then it is easy to engage in behavior that is out of character. So the decision to alter your brain chemistry with another substance definitely opened the door to behavior that could land you in jail. But the frightening thing about this is that domestic violence often escalates to more than just a fist fight or a slap. Sometimes someone ends up seriously injured and in the hospital or even in the morgue. Someone that we love. One of the biggest arguments against the widespread proliferation of guns is that often it's the gun in your house that you have to protect you from the intruder that ends up being used to shoot to death your spouse, whom you are temporarily angry at. And if you're drunk or high and out of your right mind, at that moment, that seemed like the thing to do. So we are seeing many cases of violence within the homes. And it's known that during these times of the pandemic, there was an increase in acts of violence inside the homes. When people could not leave and were frustrated, they turned their frustrations on each other. And often the children were caught in the crossfire, so to speak. And they couldn't escape. So there are many households that are woefully dysfunctional. But children are often told, don't be telling our business. So they don't confide in teachers or counselors or even friends. And in these times where people have been confined to their households for more hours than usual, the behavior that had been somewhat manageable gets out of control. There are couples who argue and fight as a way of life. And how many people, when they see a couple arguing, say, oh, they must be married? Because it's just assumed that couples are going to argue. But there is a difference between the occasional disagreement and even the occasional raising of one's voice and violent behavior that could be deadly, especially when one or both of you are not in your right mind. So we want to take a look at that today, and we want you to give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1 when you're ready to speak. This is a time for us to really examine the culture in which we're raising our children. We are seeing violence behavior in them, but it is an expression of their own experience in the household. Violent behavior is not coming out of peaceful households. So even though we may tell our children, don't tell everybody our business, so that they don't discuss those incidences of domestic violence, their behavior is in fact telling everybody the family business, because it sends a message that there is trouble in the home. And we know that when authorities have to step in, then whatever is happening becomes public knowledge. Have you dealt with domestic violence? Was it a cause for a marital breakup? Have you experienced it growing up as a child, and how did it affect you in terms of your expectations of what a healthy relationship looked like? Have you known a friend who perhaps was experiencing domestic violence and didn't seem to know how to get away? Often these situations are ongoing, and the question is, why does one stay with someone who has the potential to take their life? Do we know when a situation has escalated to the point where it is dangerous? Do we hesitate to call authorities out of embarrassment of having police show up at our door and the neighbors see what's happening? Have you ever covered signs of wounds inflicted from a violent encounter from a loved one, supposed loved one, with makeup or dark glasses or a hat or something to hide the evidence? Have you done it more than once? Usually in situations where people won't leave, it's because they believe that this is a temporary situation and the offending person will come back to their senses at some point. They will come back to normal and everything will be fine. However, this isn't always the case. And when it doesn't happen, we can end up seeing a fatality. How do we know when a situation is truly dangerous and it's time to leave? And how effective is it to call authorities if we don't press charges? Sometimes, in the heat of an argument, police are called, but then the person who called them declines to press charges because they don't want their loved one to be handcuffed, taken down to the station, and put in jail. And yet, they see someone who's out of control. So how do we rectify the feelings of fear mixed with feelings of love for that person when they are in their right minds? And how do we know when to make a decision to leave a violent situation? How do we know? When we need help from a professional, how do we know when we need help from the law? This isn't an easy question to answer. There have been cases where couples have called the police, and as a result of a case of domestic violence, their children were taken into state custody. And once you get the Department of Human and Family Services involved in your family, it's difficult to get them out. So how do you know when you can handle the situation by yourself? Or should you even try? these are the kinds of issues that we find ourselves having to answer when someone is out of control. When a household is out of control, many people can be harmed. There's an associate that is still struggling, a person that has, in fact, experienced the consequence of a domestic violence complaint in which his wife called police and there were discussions by the children at school, and the word, of course, got to the authorities, DCFS in the case of Illinois, Department of Children and Family Services, and every state has some similar structure. And the children were taken away and never given back because the whole process then involved the courts and lawyers. And if you're going through financial hardship, you can literally lose your family because you can't afford a lawyer to help you plead your case as to why you should get them back. And even if you don't end up doing jail time, you could certainly see your whole life unravel once the authorities get involved. Do we have a system that helps people who are going through emotional struggles, psychological distress, many who have PTSD, not just those who went to the military, but those who are dealing with battles right at home, but they're traumatized, and they're abusing alcohol and drugs, and they're violent and dangerous. But is what they have more to be categorized as mental illness rather than criminal behavior? And how do we respond with someone to someone who is acting mentally ill after they have altered their brain chemistry with alcohol or drugs? Do they get sentenced to counseling, or do they get provided counseling, and do they get assistance to pay for regular mental health treatment? Or do they get criminalized? And are they made to spend time in jail only to get out and be more angry and violent? Sometimes the cycle continues because we haven't addressed the issue of their emotional illness, which leads to the substance abuse. And a person who is involved in such a relationship may not realize the danger that they are in when a person is not in their right mind and has become angry and violent. This is a difficult situation when there are children involved, because any domestic conflict in which children are present, authorities will remove the children if it's determined that there is danger. And then what are children subjected to after that? Well, sometimes it's abuse. Not that all who are in the foster care system are abusive, But too often, things happen to children while in foster care that are traumatizing for life. So in addition to the trauma of witnessing domestic violence, they're traumatized by people who may have simply used them as an income source. And sometimes they are separated from parents for years. And this is disruptive to their schooling and has an impact on their education, which can impact their entire life. So a person in the household who is out of control, not controlling themselves, and subjecting the family to danger can affect many lives for years to come. So it's important for a person who is in a relationship which is sometimes stormy and may even escalate to violence to determine whether or not this is a relationship in which it is safe to raise children. Some stay in an abusive environment out of fear that they don't have the financial means, especially if they have children. But then when violence escalates into something deadly, many relatives will say, why didn't they tell me this was happening? Why did they stay? Why didn't they seek help? And for all those reasons we just mentioned, public embarrassment and shame, torn feelings, mixed feelings as to should they wait till this person sleeps it off and comes back to normal, and if this is a pattern of behavior, perhaps this is the last time this will happen if the person expresses remorse that they've become violent while drunk. But sometimes the injuries are fatal, and then what do you do? So when you are living with someone who engages in behavior that alters their brain chemistry, regardless of what kind of drug it may be or alcohol, and they become violent, there is always a chance that the violence may turn deadly. How do we know when we need help? And how do we get over the shame and the fear of public embarrassment in order to call for help when needed? So that's an issue we want to take a look at today. And for those who may have had experience in that area, whether as a child or an adult, we welcome your comments. And if you have had experience in that situation, you may want to consider how you handled it and would you handle it differently. It's definitely not something that people are able to share until they have gotten out of it because of the shame of being in it. And we tend to shame people who need help. And that's the biggest problem, shaming those who need help instead of helping them. This is definitely a time for us to consider are we as a community too judgmental when people need help? How many remember as children watching a fight, watching neighbors who may have gotten into a squabble, and it may have come out of the house and into the streets, and it becomes like a show, and everybody watches as they holler and scream at each other and maybe hit each other. And then maybe even we might see police called and someone hauled away. We may have seen that growing up. The couple that always had drama going on, or maybe the teenagers that were rebellious and somehow ended up fighting their parents or being kicked out of the house by parents or coming in drunk or high and causing a physical altercation. We see it. And we've even gotten to the point where we have normalized it. We've made it something that we're not alarmed at. Seeing people fighting. So the violence itself is no longer a trigger to us realizing that it could lead to someone's death. Too often it is treated as a show, a source of amusement, a drama that we watch unfold in front of us. But what about if it's your house? And what about if you are someone who can't get away from it? Certainly in the case of children, where they are forced to stay no matter what happens, and they see parents beating each other up, maybe even grabbing weapons, knives, guns. This is traumatizing. It's not a memory that you forget. And it's definitely an incident that affects your own relationships. Memories of someone threatening your life. I once had a student who had seen their parent shot to death in an act of domestic violence. And they were clearly still traumatized. Are our school systems really equipped to handle children who experience the trauma of domestic violence? When we have schools that have counselors that come maybe once a month, once a week, they're not on staff daily, and these same students, when they act out, it's predictable because of what they're living with. But what they get is not empathy, but criminalization. Has it occurred to any official body to track the backgrounds of those young people who are committing deadly crimes? Carjacking has increased, and it's being done by teenagers who are not even old enough to have a license. So one could focus on where are they getting the guns. One could focus on video games that make it look like a game to stick up someone and take their car. But truly, the question is, what is happening in that household? And there are many young people who are literally raising themselves. And we talked about this on yesterday's show when Mama Joy joined us to talk about what's happening with our children and the fact that there are thousands just in one city, in this city of Chicago, who live on the streets and survive the best way they can because their parents are hopelessly dysfunctional. Parents who are absent, parents who are jailed, parents who are drunk or high, parents who were emotionally unfit when they became parents, and there was no support system for them. There was only criminalization of their behavior. So at what point do we stop criminalizing those who need help? We're going to take a break and talk about it, and of course we are listening for your comments on this topic. You're listening to Soulful Solutions of Dr. Debbie Green. We're talking about domestic violence and substance abuse. How do we know when our loved one who is drunk or high and has become verbally abusive may initiate physical violence? Well, we'll talk about what to do when we realize we may be in real danger of harm. We'll be right back after this quick break. We want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. And if you're on our switchboard now, press 1 if you've got a comment. If you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1. And we'll be back in just one moment. So stay with us.
Have you ever dreamed of going to exotic places, meeting fascinating people, enjoying uplifting music, and spending nights in a luxurious hotel? Do you look forward to a relaxing vacation where you can walk along the beach or sit in a quiet park and enjoy the sunset or sunrise? Whether you're flying around the world or driving across the country, we will share travel tips that will help you stay safe while you enjoy the journey. Join me every third Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and move around with Deborah here on the Female Solutions Show. Call in and comment, 515-605-9325, and press 1 to speak.
Hallelujah, greetings in the spirit of Way O and Yah Shalom. Way O means we are one. Yah is Hebrew sacred name for God, and Shalom means peace. I'm Evangel Mamadi Love Yah Nubian, and I'm inviting you to join me every fourth Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. Wisdom with Mamadi. Call in number 515-605-9325. Wisdom. Women in support of daughters on motherhood preparation. And spiritually speaking, men who do the will of Yah are mothers too. As a Montessori educator, author, activist, international award-winning poet, and ordained minister, females, I want you to say farewell to all things, seen and unseen, that prevent your potential. You bring forth life and give birth to babies. A kid is an animal beast with four legs. A child is a human being person with two legs. Facts can change feelings, but feelings cannot change facts. A mother teaches love. Love is the arm that reaches out and holds people, places, and things together. That's what Wisdom with Mama D is about. Join me every fourth Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. Call in 515-605-9325. To share your wisdom and love souls into shape. Remember, mother's farewell. If you don't, your child won't. And if he doesn't, society is abused. Females, you are global transformers with the power to change this world. Use it.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Viata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
What if you could live to be 120 years old and remain active, healthy, alert, and vibrant? Our bodies are made up of cells that are constantly rejuvenating. So if we take proper care of our cells, we can literally defy aging. Join us every Tuesday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time to learn about self-care from Susan Essentials on the Female Solution Blog Talk Radio Show. Learn how to help your body and your cells feel rejuvenated each day through proper nutrition, sleep, frequency medicine, and many unconventional methods of self-care. I'm Jody Susan. Join me and my amazing guests by calling in at 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak. We'll help you achieve a breakthrough in your health today.
Crime in Chicago continues to increase. Communities and politicians must come together to make a change. No one person can solve these problems by themselves, but I believe together we can make progress. Let's provide job training, economic growth, and invest into our 77 community. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor.
This is Minister Cynthia Marie Williams, spiritual counselor and advisor. I invite you to a private reading in the areas of business, health, finances, relationships for introductory cost of $20. Please call because there is a higher power that can help me help you. 312-802-4743. Peace and blessings to you all. Call me. 312-802-4743.
Are you constantly arguing with your spouse? Are your children misbehaving and acting out? Is someone in your family abusing drugs? Have you been the victim of domestic violence? Are you grieving over the loss of a loved one? Let us help you restore serenity to your life. At Serenity Family Social Services, we understand that good mental health is the result of emotional well-being. Our goal is to assist you and your family in removing emotional distress and restoring harmony and balance to your lives. We offer individual, couples, and family counseling. I'm Howard Williams, CEO of Serenity Family Social Services. Call us today at 312-315-4820. That's 312-315-4820.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the Earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
And we are back. You're listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. For those who are listening online, we invite you to join this conversation. 515-605-9325 and press 1 when you're ready to speak. And we'll certainly come right to you and get your thoughts. And if you are watching us on the Female Solution Facebook page, we certainly do encourage you to share your story or your comments. Simply write them in and we will bring them up on screen and share them with our listening and viewing audience. And we thank all of you who are on our switchboard today. As Dr. Debbie Green handles an emergency with a patient, we will certainly take your calls. And we invite you to share your wisdom if you have handled a situation in which there was domestic violence and you had to make a decision about someone that you loved who was simply not in their right mind. Unfortunately, we have allowed this to become a normal part of our society. Couples fighting, people being drunk, people being high, people being destructive, people hitting each other. And if you grow up in such an environment, that may appear normal. And so you don't know when it can escalate and turn deadly. So let's go to our phone lines. And, of course, we want to hear from you and get your thoughts if you have ever experienced or witnessed domestic violence. Area code 863-816, Grand Rising. Thank you for joining us today on the Female Solution. Introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and give us your comments.
Yeah, L.A., Central Florida. I just tuned in. or at least actually tuned in with my mind. domestic violence. I think I stated this yesterday. I've never been in a domestic violence situation. I could have been, but I never actually was in one because I have just a personal rule. I don't do drama. So if I can't physically remove myself, I don't try to argue or, you know, get into a pissing contest and win an argument, hold court. I don't do none of that. If I can't physically move from that particular situation, then I'll just allow the other person to blow off steam. Now, that strategy has worked. I've allowed people, let's see, as a landlord, I remember one tenant and then the woman, then her man, they cussed me out in front of the whole neighborhood. I just let them vent. And it was over with. I've been threatened, physically threatened, but I don't say anything. I just stand there and let them blow off steam, and then everything's all right. As a landlord, I had somebody that called her man to come beat me up. But
Ooh. The
way I handled that was I was in the house, and I said, don't leave the room, because she handed me the phone to talk to her man, and she was about to leave the room. I said, no, you stay here. I want you to hear all this. So I talked to her man with her standing right there and defused the situation. And then I gave her a ride to her kids someplace, and we were friends forever after that.
Wow.
I felt I had to keep her in the room so her man would hear the whole thing. In other words, it's a self-checking situation. So, like I said, I've been fortunate, but I just don't do drama. So I land my plane there.
Well, that's probably a very life-saving trait that you have. But then also, for those who don't know and have never seen you, you are a man of tall stature. So it's not likely people would pick a fight.
Oh, that don't matter.
Some people just like picking fights anyway.
Like picking fights. And then these days, you don't know what, you know, a person might be carrying on them. You know, what kind of weapon or whatever.
Advisor, you know, so yeah, that's true. You never know. One of the things that people don't think about as they stand around and watch a fight is what people might be carrying. And if somebody is carrying a weapon, if they're carrying arms, you know, they're carrying a gun of some type, and in their not right mind state, they pull out a gun and start shooting. Well, you know, if you're not rational, you're also not aiming properly because you're emotional, which means anybody standing around watching a fight could get shot, which happens. So I always tell people, especially children who, you know, when you grow up, a lot of times where violence is part of the culture. You know, after school, every day there's a fight. I know that was the way it was when I grew up. Everybody fought. I mean, it was just always fighting. That was a way of life. And I'm pretty sure a lot of these families that these children grew up in, that was the case. There was fights because there was so much violence in the children. So every day there was a fight after school, and it was like, you know, like watching Ali Frazier or some, you know, or Mike Tyson or some, you know, famous boxer. Everybody gathers around in a ring watching the fight. It was a show. And back then, people were not carrying weapons. But today, doing that is very dangerous, wanting to watch a show when somebody is, first they start arguing, then somebody throws a punch, and then next thing you know, they're fighting. Or maybe nobody throws a punch, somebody pulls out a weapon. But either way, it's not a healthy thing to sit around and watch people fighting.
Oh, so man, I don't break up fights either.
Well, that's another thing.
Between
and
men and women,
the,
I don't, yeah, between men and women, yeah. And I've seen it plenty of times, I don't get involved with, if I see a man beating up on a woman, I don't get involved, primarily for the reason I've seen too many cases like that where they make up, and then whoever tried to break up the fight, they're the enemy. So
right, they turn on you.
Right.
Well, that's one of the reasons why police don't like dealing with domestic violence situations. Because, you know, say a woman calls the police my husband's beating me up. So they come, and they wrestle him to the ground and put the handcuffs on him. And she's like, no, no, leave him alone. But you called us. You said, we coming to help you. And now she's beating them up because they're trying to arrest her husband that she called them to come and handle. So they don't like those situations either because it does end up turning on the person who's trying to help break up the fight or subdue the person who's being violent. So, you know, there's so many mixed emotions that come with domestic violence. Usually, whatever has happened to cause somebody to be angry and created a violence, that there's also love there. You know, it might be a jealousy issue or whatever the case may be, but underneath there is a loving relationship between the people who are committing violence toward one another. So unless the people who step in have some type of counseling skills, then usually it doesn't go well because you do have the conflicting emotions. I'm angry at you. I'm afraid of you. I want them to stop you, but I love you. So, you know, that's what keeps people in a revolving door of staying in a relationship that is harmful because there's still the love part. But when a person, especially when they're drunk or high, not in their right mind, their behavior is unpredictable. So, you know, when people say, well, how can you stay with somebody who's hitting you? Well, the person stays for the times when they're not being hit. You know, they stay for the good times with the belief that the bad times won't reoccur. So it can be a very confusing situation. So, I mean, you say you've never broken up a fight or tried to break up a fight.
Nope.
Have you ever seen someone else try to break up a fight between, say, a husband and wife and end up getting hit by the people that they're trying to
Well,
yeah,
the woman will get mad or whatever, and I got a cousin. People wondered how she and her husband had so many children. They had seven of them. Oh, actually six. But I've come to the conclusion, call me crazy, this is something out of Star Trek, that some people, their idea of foreplay,
yeah,
is violence.
Like Klingons, right?
Klingons, like Klingons. Yeah, so, you know, I'm convinced
fighting.
That some human beings are actually Klingons or sharks, because sharks mate violently. And, you know, that's their way of, you know, getting romantic. So, I've seen people get in trouble. You know, the police wasn't called, but the police do get called, and then the police might be carrying off the wrong person. And I also, as a man, I'm careful because a lot of times if the police show up, you know, they might arrest. I mean, it depends on who tells the best story. So typically, you know, they might believe a lot of times, maybe not all the time, the police will arrest and then investigate later. Now, I don't want to be in that situation, so I walk away from it.
Well, that's the thing. I have seen situations where the woman was the one that was violent, but the police came and arrested the man. And so that's why it's difficult if men are in a domestic violence situation and they're the one being attacked. It's difficult for them to call police and say, look, this woman has gotten out of control. She's, you know, coming at me with a knife. She's threatening me with a gun, whatever the case may be. Usually, unless the woman's got a gun, usually if the man's just saying, well, she's hitting me, you know, like you say, it depends on who tells the best story. Because when the police get there and the woman says, he attacked me, and then he gets arrested. So it really can get to be a mess. And you can't assume that it's always the male who's attacking the female because we got some violent females. And a man may be trying to restrain himself because he knows that he could really hurt her if he hit her, or he would most likely go to jail if he hit her. But then how does he stop her from hitting him? Because she, you know, women start picking up objects that could hurt you, like irons and things that could really kill you, do some real damage. So how do you handle it when the one you love has become violent and maybe they're out of their mind because they're drunk, high, whatever the case may be? When do you know that they are dangerous enough to do real damage, even cause a fatal injury?
I think you can, well, what I've done personally is I start off in the friend zone. So in the friend zone, you can find out a whole bunch of information about past relationships. Then you can pick up on their character, their temperament, the emotional temperament, and all that. So if they've had a dramatic history, then we're staying friends. I don't even want friends with benefits, just straight-up platonic friends. So that strategy has worked for me for 65 years and counting so far. So that's the lane I roll in.
Yeah, well, that sounds safe. Well, we got to take a break. And thanks so much, L.A., for sharing your story. We appreciate you, as always, for adding to this discussion. And we'll be right back. We're going to take your next caller, 312-671, you're next. And if you're on our switchboard now and want to share your thoughts, just press 1. We'll open your mic and get your comments. Did you grow up with a parent that drank and perhaps their personality changed? Did they become violent? Did they believe in corporal punishment? And do you feel that perhaps the way you were punished was, in fact, child abuse? How has that affected you? Did you still have that anger in your own personal relationships? And did you inflict violence on your spouse? And do you trace it to a childhood of domestic violence? We'll be right back after this quick break, and we want you to stay with us.
Hi, I'm Jody Susan with Susan Essentials. I started Susan Essentials in 2015 because of a personal health journey. I was over-medicated and put on 19 different medications. And yes, I reversed all my chronic diseases using plant and energy-based healing. It was amazing. At Susan Essentials, we support both consumers and businesses, and we do that with helping your employees or yourself with a food as medicine mindset. How Susan Essentials supports businesses and consumers is we teach people about a food as medicine mindset. So we support people on how to support their own immune system, how to support their brain health, how to support their emotional well-being. And we do that all with plant and an energy-based healing.
Do you or your organization need space for an event? Call the Quarry Event Center at 2423 East 75th Street in Chicago for your parties, banquets, award ceremonies, repasses, concerts, and business seminars. Available 7 days a week, now under new management. Call us at the Quarry at 773-663-2557. That's 773-663-2557.
Crime in Chicago continues to increase. Communities and politicians must come together to make a change. No one person can solve these problems by themselves, but I believe together we can make progress. Let's provide job training, economic growth, and invest into our 77 community. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for Mayor.
Back, you're listening to, and if you're joining us on Facebook, watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. Dr. Debbie Green, of course, is handling an emergency with a patient right now, and we are on the Female Solution Facebook page and YouTube channel if you want to join us visually. But, of course, if you want to speak vocally, you need to call in 515-605-9325 and press 1. That lets us know you have something to say. We're talking about domestic violence and substance abuse. Often personalities are altered when there's alcohol involved. And people know alcohol is a depressant, but it does create a state of mind that removes your inhibitions, meaning that the usual controls you would have over yourself are absent. And so you say things that you would normally stop yourself from saying, and you do things that you would normally stop yourself from doing. So in the absence of self-control, it's easy to be triggered to anger, and then that anger can turn into violence. And if one has access to a deadly weapon, that violence can turn to deadly violence. What happens when the one you love becomes one that you fear? When do you know that you should either leave or call for help? And what kind of help does such a person need? Do they need counseling? Do they need therapy? Do they need incarceration? And does incarceration really help when at the root of the problem is some type of emotional disturbance that triggered the violent behavior? How can we handle things differently? Let's go to our phone lines. And again, if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1 to share your thoughts. Did you grow up watching domestic violence? Did you grow up believing that that was a normal way that couples interacted? Did you grow up with a parent or parents who engaged in some type of substance abuse that altered their personality and perhaps made them violent? How did you handle it as a child in that environment? Let's go to area code 312671. Introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and give us your comments.
Hallelujah. Way on Yashalom. Hurrah, we don't die, we multiply. Black is beautiful, and especially with black power without the gun. This is Minister Plump, Robert Floyd Plump, from Chicago. And it's so good to be back on the Female Solution. Today is an excellent topic. And we, you know, life is like this, basically and ultimately. You either part of the problem or you part of the solution. So we focus on the solution. However, domestic violence is the worst violence that can happen to any individual or to any person that loves someone. Because when you really, really, really love someone, then you don't create a violence on your loved one. And I've learned the best way to be happy is to make someone happy that you love. And I grew up like my father. He was a domestic violence abuser. You know, he beat my mother. And, you know, back in the day when I was coming up, I'm just like any other child. I was going to protect my dear. He was beating on my mother, and then I run to the kitchen and got a knife. And then, you know, I got a real long story to tell, but I'm going to kind of cut it short, you know, and I cut him on his rear end. He slapped me down, you know, knocked me down, and took the knife from me. I was a little old fella. But, you know, I was determined, you know, and then after that, he never did hit my mother no more. You know, when I cut him with the knife. However, you know, I used to have a, you know, fight every day. I went to school, Sister Naima. You know, I changed. I did do a 360. I used to be violent every day. It was just like with me, it was who going to be next to get whooped.
Wow.
Because, yes, ma'am. But praise ye the Lord, you know, my family did train me different and better because my grandmother and my grandfather, they knew we was in trouble because my father, he did alcohol and he did drugs, you know, I would say. And I would say that that's a harm to yourself. From my experience, not that I'm Mr. Do Right, however, I did it wrong too. And then as a result, sometime emotionally, you know, to me, I experienced slapping my wife. And that was the worst feeling that I experienced, you know, as a human being was because I knew it wasn't the right thing to do. You know, God chastised me. And God been checking me now more than ever. So, you know, I'm just so glad that I'm into God's will, and God's will only is the best way. So as a result, we now are part of the Hale Washington Foundation, and Mayor Hale Washington said we must plump the whole community. So we are doing black power without the guns and violence. You know, that people create, you know, even on their own loved ones. But we about everybody can help stop the violence, shooting, robbing, stealing, and killing. And we can start the healing. And everybody can help save the children. So I'm so glad that, as they say, trouble don't last always, you know. And yes, ma'am.
Minister Plum, let me ask. Because I know you all are doing a prayer thing every week as well. But I want to ask you, what was the thing that turned you around? Because you had the foundation of violence happening in the house, and then it was affecting you as a child, and you brought it out of the house to the, you know, to your own peers and fought, and that's a very common pattern. But what was the point in your life that turned you around?
Thank you so much. The point in my life that turned me all the way around, 360, all praises due to Allah for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And you know, you asked the right question. So now we don't only have the Hale Washington Foundation .net that brothers and sisters, they can go to PlumpFoundation.org, and then you can check out my music. I do music. You know, and you can check it out at thepeoplesmodge.com. So praise the Lord. God is good. God is the greatest in my life. And I'm so glad that Yahshua made the difference, who most know is Jesus Christ. And I teach it because it's the truth. He is a black Messiah, a black Mahdi, a black man, and as a result, of my faith in believing in God and helping to rebuild the nation of Islam with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, it changed my whole life. And now I am happy, I am healthy, I am wealthy, and I am wise. And for more information, brothers and sisters, we have weekly meetings at 3515 South Cottage Grove. And we are totally against violence now. That's how my life changed. And people have to call me, you know, to get in the meetings because they are private meetings. Some of the people are restricted, you know what I mean? So, you know, and if they are violent or talking, we don't do no cursing, no fussing, no fighting, no cussing, no disrespect to the brothers or sisters that come. You know, we done established a black code, Sister Naima. And for more information, brothers and sisters can go to 312-671-2000. 2773. If they want to get in the meetings that we have, Black Power Without the Guns and Violence. We don't, that's like nonsense. You know, with the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, you got to make sense. And, you know, he said you don't need no, you don't even need no weapons to be a part of the solution. And you don't even need a knife or any kind of item that would harm yourself or somebody else. So we have been blessed into success, breed success. We got what we call the People's Tea campaign, which is PLUMP. And PLUMP with the acronym is Peace, Love, Unity, Marketing, People. And we are campaigning.
I got another question for you. And I really thank you for sharing this story, because this is one we had not heard. But there are a lot of people who, you know, joined the Nation, and they had various backgrounds, some of them coming out of prison, some of them, you know, violent past, done things, and like all of us, grew up with domestic violence, alcoholism, and all of that. What was the thing that touched your heart that made you decide you wanted to change on the inside so that you would not harm another person? What was said that light bulb on in your head? It's like, oh,
yes.
I don't want to be like that.
Oh, well. It was a number of things, but mostly I would say the spiritual part. Okay, I went to Vietnam, right? I became a valedictorian in Vietnam, and an expert in hurting people and killing people.
It's so hurting.
So I said, I'm not going to be hurting nobody. I don't want nobody to hurt me. So I just let God take over. Excuse me, y'all. You know, but it do hurt sometimes. If you hurt somebody that you love or even don't even know, that's not right. Because in the Word it says, thou should not kill. So we got to keep it real. You know, it's so much that's going on from the past, the present, to the future. So you have to learn to learn better, know better, and do better, and make a difference. And the best way to make a difference is be at peace with yourself and everybody else. Because, you know, the system don't care nothing about us, you or me or us as a people. You have to learn better to care about yourself so you don't get in a trap. The trap would be you can go to jail for hurting someone. You can get in a mental institution because you don't control yourself. You can even go to the cemetery because you hurt your loved one and kill your loved one or somebody else. You don't even know. So you have to stop that. You have to stop in the name of love. You have to stop in the name of God. And you have to stop because you discover. I discovered I'm the most important person he is living. So now I took a whole new approach. I used to fight Naima every day. Every day I went to school, I had to fight. I was worse than Muhammad Ali, but I think now that I'm the greatest PR person in the world for God. And it's God's will only. That's the best thing I can say. You know, do it for yourself. Do it for God and do it for your people, because we need love. We need peace. We need some joy. We need some understanding. And the only way I can see anybody being violent is in self-defense. You know, self-preservation is the first law of nature. However, you know, it's better to be right than to be wrong. You know, and God is good. God is the greatest in my life. And I'm so happy that I can be happy and I can be healthy. I can be wealthy and I can be wise. And I can share that because it's a gift now. I realize it's a gift from God. You know, everything is from God. Everybody living, black people, white, red, brown, and yellow, all of them living should stop the domestic violence. And we now, is what I teach with the Harold Washington Foundation, is stop the violence. Stop the killing so we can start the healing. You know, all of those things I learned. So now I put it into my music, and I focus on God 24/7. I say, if the left don't get you, the right one will. In other words, if God don't get you, the music will. If the music don't get you, then God will. I sing all of those beautiful songs that we grew up in the movement with Dr. King. I had experience with him. I had experience with Mel Washington, Reverend Jackson. I had experience with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And
see
I'm
how
a new
blessed,
man.
See
I'm
how blessed
brand
you've
new
been.
Man.
See how blessed you've been after going through the hell of war. And Deborah says on Facebook here, she makes a comment here that war is evil. Peace is love. And so, Minister Plump, you have seen both sides. You've seen the horrors of war, been in it, and, you know, got the memories of it, but that's now the driving force where now you're working for peace. So that is a beautiful revelation, and we thank you so much for sharing your story, because there's a lot of veterans out there that are in pain just like you, and they're trying to figure out, how can I make up for what I've done? And that's why a lot of them drink. That's why a lot of them become violent. That's why we're saying, you know, when we see domestic violence is the real response to criminalize people. What they really need, like you said, is healing. They're in pain. And so we got to deal with the pain and the sources of pain. And you know, you really opened some eyes today. So we thank you so much. Thank you so much for sharing your story.
Sister Naima, let me say one more thing, Sister Naima. Yeah, see, a lot of people, and see, the female solution is really the real solution for all of us here in this world, which is also a healing equals to 23. But most people don't know that. I teach that too. And that is 23 team or team 23. Together, everyone achieves more. Together, everyone achieves much. Together, everyone achieves money. Together, everyone achieves millions. Together, everyone achieves miracles, and all miracles come from God. God done blessed everybody here on this earth, black, white, red, brown, and yellow, and they should be thankful. I'm the happiest man in the earth living, even though I shed some tears.
That's
Praise God.
To see yourself have evolved, that is such a blessing. Well, thank you, Minister Plump. We always enjoy your sharing what you do. And we've been joined by Viata here on our Facebook Live page on StreamYard. And, of course, you can watch us on YouTube or Facebook. Just go to The Female Solution. And we'll be joined shortly by Dr. Debbie, who had to deal with an emergency this morning, but we appreciate her so much. And, you know, what Minister Plum said, it's eye-opening in that there are so many people that are still in pain from memories of what they've done in war. And when you have to kill someone, when you have to be violent, and you get rewarded for how good you were, and he said he was good at it, but then later in life, it's still inside of you. And I see so many veterans that are struggling with alcohol and drug abuse, trying to bury those painful memories, and they flip out and attack their families. And that's why a lot of them end up homeless, because people can't live with them, because they're dangerous, because they never got the healing from war. So, Vianna, so many of us have experienced parents who drank and then went through an altered personality. How does a child deal with that? What are some of the things that go through the mind of a child when they feel the helplessness of their parent going from that Dr. Jekyll to Mr. Hyde person? How does a child deal with that? Or can you?
Well, for me, my mother was an alcoholic from the time I was born, I believe, because from a very, very young age, I remember her drinking a lot of alcohol. And first emotion that I have had to deal with is sadness. Mm. I had a lot of sadness in my adult life that I was triggered with sadness about other people's alcoholism. And that went back to my mother because being a young child and then a young teenager, observing my mother drinking beer all the time and not able to give me any nurturing and care as her child and her children, she managed to cook meals. And I remember a memory that was so clear that my mother used to cook chitlins. She used to clean chitlins.
Yeah, I remember that.
And she would be sitting at the sink drunk.
I
don't know if a beer was there or not, but she would be drunk cleaning them chitlins. It was like she was so programmed to be a wife, no matter what her state of mind or health was. She was cleaning them chitlins faithfully.
Wow.
And she did that all the time. She didn't miss caring for us in the way of preparing meals for us, and she would be drunk doing it.
Mm.
So sadness is what I've had to overcome as an adult of that memory. And my behavior was, I can fix this. I would be pouring her alcohol down the sink.
I would
take her alcohol and pour it down the sink. And I don't even remember her getting really upset about that. She would just go buy more.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, you think you get rid of it, but they just go buy some more, so that doesn't work.
But my idea as a young child was to try and save her, because at some point she started going in the hospital. Her eyes got really yellow.
Ooh,
her liver was affected.
Yeah.
Her liver was affected by it, and so she spent a few trips in the hospital because of condition of her liver. And then the doctors told her one time, if you drink anymore, you're going to die. And she stopped. She would stop for a while, and then some tragedy or something would happen that she would start drinking again. So I had a few peaceful, sober years with my mother before she passed with liver cancer. And it was beautiful to see her be sober and feel the love energy and the balance of mind, because I think alcoholics are destroying their brain.
Oh yeah, yeah. Definitely.
And they're so caught up in the pain. I see now that alcoholics are using that substance to numb the pain.
That's it.
And we know that's coming from a trauma in their childhood, more than likely, that they haven't been able to manage all their life. And that's why I'm doing, again, emotional intelligence part two tomorrow, where two of the people I'm going to talk about committed suicide.
Oh, wow.
And so I'm going to talk about the consequences of not having emotional intelligence and how these two souls left this earth because they couldn't manage the emotions that they had, whether it's depression. I think usually depression is a major emotion that triggers people into pain and using alcohol or drugs of some kind to numb that pain. So it's important to me. That's why it's important that we manage our emotions and recognize those emotions that are at a low frequency, because we're all energy, right? And when we keep sadness kept coming up with me. And then I was drinking wine a lot of my life, my young life. Wine was my go-to, and marijuana.
Mm.
And I tried a little cocaine and I tried it all.
Mm.
because the emotions that got triggered in me, I didn't know how to handle.
Mm.
So society offers lots of commercials to tell you it's okay to have a drink.
Yeah.
Well, in fact, what blew my mind, when my mother was on her deathbed, I was sitting in the bed with her reading the Bible to her. And so we had a conversation. I said, Mom, did you ever think about all the alcohol that you drink? Or I said, well, what did you think about all the alcohol that you drink? And she looked at me and said, oh, everybody has a little drink now and then. And I like almost fell off the bed. It's like after years, this, and I was probably in my 50s.
Oh, wow. So, and she never saw herself as a problem drinker or an alcoholic, just that's the way of life. And I think that's what it is with a lot of people, that especially if they grew up with parents who drank in a society where everybody drank, no one looked at it as a problem. They looked at it as just part of the culture. And in order for a person to not repeat that, they have to really consciously realize that that is dysfunctional behavior. But it's not
easy. And especially, Naima, it's harming your body. Your brain is being turned into mush with all that alcohol.
Yeah.
You can't think straight. After a while, they can't even think about maybe stopping this habit because their brain is not saying, you have a problem. You have a problem. It's just like your brain is just kind of going along with it in society. And until you start really, in my opinion, going inside and realizing my body's being damaged by all this alcohol and I need this. And there are always signs. Your body gives you signs that you're in serious red zone mode with this with alcohol, and they get ignored. And so I'm at a place of just acceptance.
Mm.
I'm doing a yoga class at after 10 about tapping about frustration. People, I've had so many people expressing frustration because they can't control other people's behavior, basically.
Wow. Well, we're going to talk about that when we get back. We're going to take one last quick break, and we're going to be joined by Dr. Debbie Green. And we've got a caller on the line, and has pressed one, oh, two that's pressed one. So 706-202 and 312-450. We're going to come to you after the break. So hold on, stick and stay. Don't stray away. If you get to 312-671 again, we'll see again. But of course, first we're going to take this quick break and come on back with Dr. Debbie Green. Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. We're talking about domestic violence and substance abuse. We'll be right back after this quick break, so stay with us.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
Tax are higher than ever. Every day, thousands of our residents leave Chicago to shop in Indiana. Jobs are being lost, and businesses are relocating. Let's find a way to lower our taxes to encourage residents to continue living and shopping in our city. Let's rebuild. Let's restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of the city of Chicago, and I will work hard to find solutions that matter. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for Mayor.
And we are joined by the beautiful Dr. Debbie Green. I knew you had to go and get gorgeous for you. You know, you came on.
I woke up like this.
Well, all right then.
It ain't easy. It's not easy. Absolutely. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Well, you know what? This is a wonderful topic this morning, and I'm just excited, like I said, just to be discussing it because it's a much-needed, understood topic because, again, addiction is actually a co-occurring type of diagnosis in almost everything that we do. You know, it's addiction is nothing but a habit. Either you have a bad habit or a good habit, right?
Mm.
So this is dealing with specifically domestic violence and family violence. You know, the thing about this is when we actually create, it's something that's created. Remember, addictions are only compensation for something that you do not have.
Mm.
It's like you are fulfilling something that you're compensating, and it starts off as a little small coping mechanism. Oh, I'm having a bad day, let me take a drink, right?
Mm.
And, you know, there's so many different factors about this, Naima, and my wonderful Bayana. Oh, my goodness, I see you there.
Yes.
There's so many different factors about this, right? Because think about it, if you grew up, family, any household that had alcohol or drugs, so this is there, you know, you grow up with parents automatically having this addiction.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens? We learn by osmosis, because we're going to break this thing down a little bit. Osmosis is actually the chemical response to any external stimuli.
Ooh.
That means when we were little children, I mean, as early as the age of 2 years old, we started absorbing everything we see, everything we hear, everything we know. We absorbed it, and we absorbed the not so good habits that parents or whoever our person that actually grew us up or nurtured us, but in our the unhealthy as well as the healthy habits. So since we're talking about the unhealthy habits, so we watched mom or dad, you know, say drink.
Mm.
We watched them drink when they were angry. We watched them drink when they were happy. So we thought, okay, this is normal.
That's it. We think it's normal.
It's normal. But you know what it does? It prevents us from, not say us, which means people that have a low will tolerance. If you have a low will tolerance, you got to be really careful about substances, because what happens is you build a habit extremely quicker than a person that has a high will tolerance. Some people can drink and don't change their demeanor at all. You know what I'm saying? But some people will drink maybe one, two, maybe even three, and everything starts to change in that person.
Yeah.
You know? They change and they become whatever it is. One thing about alcohol or drugs, it's going to bring out the worst of
you. Yes.
Whatever the worst is inside you, it's going to bring out the worst in you. It's not going to be, you say drunk, you used to hear the old people say, right, like drunk men don't lie.
Mm.
Okay? They have to tell the truth. It's a, you know, it's a truth term, right? But it's also liquid courage. You know what I'm saying? Because whatever's deep down inside of you that you've been holding on to, it's going to come out. It's the same thing with meth. It's the same thing with crack cocaine, alcohol. All of them are the same thing, because substance brings out the worst in a person.
Because it changes
right?
your brain chemistry,
you know,
right?
When I wrote a book with my dad about his family, his mother, back in the 1920s, late 20s, my dad shared with me how his mother and her friends would drink alcohol in New Orleans, Louisiana, every weekend with the Victrola, that record player going. And he had to always go get it fixed, because it would get broken when they were drunk. Somebody would play that Victrola and the wrong. But that was in the late 1920s. alcohol was influencing black people in a big way. So it's almost like as your Naima's book about black slave, the slavery, the trauma that we went through, they used alcohol, and alcohol was sold and available to them to numb the pain and the emotions of being a slave or in that mentality. Back
Absolutely.
In the 20s, we've had this alcohol poisoning our community.
Absolutely. And again, now we can't blame the substance. We can, the only thing we can do is blame the person that actually allowed
the
substance to become a habitual, you know, lifestyle.
So, Dr. Debbie, before I take a call, Dr. Debbie, I got a question because a lot of domestic violence situations happen as a result of somebody abusing a substance, often alcohol. And, you know, okay, so the person gets drunk, they get violent, the police are called, they go to jail. But that doesn't seem like that really helps. Do you think there needs to be a different approach in terms of healing the hurt that's within them that causes them to turn to the substance to numb the pain? Should we take them away to some place where they can get counseling as opposed to taking them away, locking them up in a cell, and they sleep it off, and they come back home, and maybe they're sorry or whatever, but the pattern continues because the hurt is still there, and they're still using the alcohol or whatever drug they're using as a coping mechanism. So should, in your opinion, should counseling be mandatory when people are in those situations as opposed to just being behind bars and being criminalized?
Absolutely. I think, of course, the system fails us, you know, as a humanity in the community. I believe, I mean, because think about this now. Substance abuse starts as early as 8 years old.
Ooh.
You have. I mean, I know for sure, okay, we've had substance abuse to the point where, can you imagine a 12-year-old child doing meth or heroin?
Ooh.
It's a reality, right? So now we're thinking about adults. But you're right. I think there should be reform. I believe that if we had systems that were set up to actually cure the issue at hand instead of just putting them away like they're like, oh, this is a bad human. This human is too negative to be in society. It's broken. It's dysfunctional. So let's just lock it up. You know what I mean? Not realizing what has happened. And not only that, Naima, that person got someone attached to them. If somebody else in their family got that same type of lifestyle, that same type of issue, and it's just going on and on and on and on.
Yeah.
So, again, the system fails us. We don't have a prevention or even an inter-prevention way of systematically curing the issue. No, it's just what it is. So we take that thing and we put it with suicidal thoughts. And then it goes in from suicidal thoughts to homicidal thoughts. Now we got what is called what?
Murdercide. Oh, wow, we got a name for that. Murdercide.
That's a Dr. Debbie's word. They haven't invented that word yet.
It'll be in the dictionary tomorrow. Somebody, murdercide, there you go.
Murdercide. That's what it is. Something is causing, and there's so many different factors. So it's so many different factors. I mean, when I tell you it's overwhelming that no one, the system is not doing anything about it, not the county, the state, not the government, not the church, not the school, no one wants to touch it.
Because they don't know what to do about it.
It's toxic, though.
Yeah.
So guess what it does? It keeps going on and on and on and on and on, right?
Right.
And here we go. We're dealing with this every single day. Right now, someone is in a household that's drinking or doing some kind of substance that's abusing verbally, mentally, physically, sexually a child.
Wow. That's it.
Right now.
That's right. And that's what we're seeing.
7 out of 10. I do statistics if you want to.
Seven out of ten.
Seven out of ten.
Wow. That is
dying right now.
Astronomical.
Dying mentally, dying physically, dying right now.
Wow.
Due to the hands all of these things we're talking about, addiction, mental illness. We might need to have a part two to this, y'all. I'm trying to tell you.
Yeah.
Mental illness, substance abuse.
Wow. Yes. Well, let me take a couple of calls and see if we can squeeze in a few calls.
Well, that's what I'm talking about tomorrow is part two of emotional intelligence, because I've had two people who committed suicide who came to my mind this week, and one of them I had met at the yoga center. So I'm going to talk about why these two people did not have emotional intelligence, because they took their life on a mental level that said, I don't want to be here, I don't need to be here, whatever. We're going to talk about emotional intelligence and the consequence of suicide when you don't have that. So that's tomorrow morning at 8, and Health and Wellbeing with Fiona. I hope you'll join me, because I'm going to have to leave here right at 10, but I'm going to listen in until 10.
Oh, all righty. Well, we appreciate that. Well, let's go to area code 706202. Introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience. You're on Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. Go right ahead.
Assalamu alaikum, Sister Naima and Grand Rising, Sister Viata and Dr. Green. Excellent topic, because these are the things in which our community has been plagued with since we've been invaded and since we were stolen. Those same three things that caused the slave trade and colonization of our people and the invasion of this land was guns, rum, and cloth. And we're looking at utilizing those words, because KRS-One uses guns as God, universe, and nature. We have to reconnect to that, to our creator, to our universe, and to nature. And because the rum is a spirit, and the indigenous people call it the mind changer, because it changed the mind of the warriors. And so rum stands for a righteous universal mind. And what we have to do is, how do we begin to change this? Is because I've been in recovery now for 41 years. I was an alcoholic and drug addict. And the thing that helped me to recover was that I had to find a higher power, which is what I call my creator, and began to see that I was killing me, because my father and all of his brothers, and I came from a dysfunctional household, and seeing the domestic violence and seeing the partying and the Saturday night fish fries and all of that type of environment, because environment affects our addiction. Gabor Monte talks about that. And so we have to begin to look at these ways in which they put us into this colonized mind. We have to decolonize it, because she said murdercide, and Dr. Bobby E. Wright right there in Chicago coined the phrase menticide. All of this is a genocidal process, and what we have to look at is epistemicide. Epistemicide is to take away the person's knowledge and to take them away from the land and their culture. And we're looking at this plague that now we thought COVID, but this is even worse than COVID, because we have taken a people from generation to generation, and it's what is called epigenetics. You create a pattern in your genes of addiction or susceptibility to addiction by creating people and disconnecting from a natural way of feeling affection, feeling loved, feeling pain. And you give them substance to substitute for what your body naturally has its own ability to cope with. And so what we're seeing is, by design, we've been colonized, and now we have to look at how do we decolonize, because we were herded into urban areas. We were made and forced to work on the land, which we should be loving nature, but we were forced to grow crops and be slaves and do the things that happen on this land. So we're now in a challenge to do mind changing, because we have to change the mind of the person, and the first place of the mind is the brain and the heart. So I've been working in recovery there in Chicago and down here in Georgia. And so it's being able to look at AA, NA, anonymous programs, because it started with being able to give a person guidance to say that you can recover, and recovery only means is to reconnect to who you really were born to be. And so I'm grateful for you all sharing this.
Thank you. We appreciate you sharing your story, and you have grown such wisdom. Thank you so much, Baba Kwame. We appreciate you as always. And we got another caller. We're going to take this next caller, and then you can comment on both of their remarks. Area code 312-450. Introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and give us your comments.
God bless you. God bless you, women of God. God bless the Lord. If he said that if I be lifted up from the earth, that I, not man, not politicians, not pastors, he said, then I will draw all men unto me. This is Sister Darva with the Women Are Rising Ministries with Men on a Mission here in Chicago. I really, really got it. God bless you, my Sister Debbie. I love you so much, and thank you for just reaching out to me. You don't know how much that I needed another sister to just love me and be with me and walk with me and understand me. Because it's hard out here when everybody's not on the same mental level that you're on. I wanted to say so much, but the brother said it all. The Holy Spirit is so powerful, because what I wanted to say is exactly what he said about all of this, where it's coming from and stemming from, and what needs to be done about it, because this is what I teach my women and men of God on Facebook and every place across this world. And so what I want to say is the brother is heavy. I like that what he said, because really the fine things have taken over our, when God said be in the world but not of the world. Because see, we know that the only thing in the world is sex, drugs, religion, money, politics. Those are the five things that keep coming to my mind to let you know those are the things that's causing what's going on in our mindset. The mind is definitely dealing with what I keep telling people. You either have weak-minded people or either you have strong-minded people. This is why someone can take a drug and never get strung out, but there are some other people that will begin to do drugs and become strung out right away. And I want to say this, because me being in politics, which is politics. I don't call it politics. I have a show that says Politics or Politics every Sunday at 12 noon here in Chicago live. And so what I want to say is, because we've been tricked too long, not by the people, by the enemy himself. I say this because I tell people on VON Radio and every place where I speak, see, I'm not talking to the non-believers. I'm not speaking to the sinners, because we already know who they are and who they work for. Who I talk to is the people that say, I am a woman, a man of God. I am a Christian. I read the word of God, the Bible I follow. But this is the whole thing. The brother just said it. I keep telling people this. The solution is go back to your Father God, Yahweh, Yeshua, whatever you might call him, because he needs you to come back so that he can take us back to where and bring us back from where we were and to where we need to be. We need to go back to the Creator. We need to go back to that. And I say this because
all that you're doing, and we understand that you all have a regular prayer gathering. We appreciate all of the spiritual work that you're doing. You know, it does start in the spirit, but you know, a person has to get to that point of realization. Everybody who shared their story today, they've told us that there was a point where they were in the darkness and in the depths of their despair, and then something happened to their spirit, and they were able to get healing. But Dr. Debbie, I know we'll be wrapping up soon, but the work that you're doing, I mean, both as a counselor and a therapist and a spiritual counselor even,
mm-hmm.
How do you see reaching the people who are at that depth of despair where they're ready to commit suicide, they don't see any hope, or they're violent and they're ready to commit a murder, or, you know, a murder side, you know, I'm going to take my life and everybody else's. How do you reach the heart of that person?
You know, one thing about that, I tell you, Kwame said it when he said epigenetics, epigenetics, which is another word for generational curses, okay, because that's what epigenetics is. It's a scientific, actually, confirmation that generational curses exist. And I did my, actually, my dissertation on that for my divinity doctrine degree, Brother Kwame. So, Kwame, I'm totally in, totally agreeance with you. But long story short, once this mindset is in a one direction, it's like a runaway train. So you can't stop a runaway train. You had to stop it long time ago before that train built up speed. Okay? So which means that that person had to be, you know, acknowledged. It had to be groomed. It had to actually be nurtured and loved all over again. Long time ago, something happened. You got to remember, this was a child. Something happened for that person to get to the point where they no longer want life. They no longer respect life. They become emotionally numb to everything that's living around them. They have no acknowledgement of the breath, So that the breath itself, not just the soul, not just the spirit, but the breath of life, it's not even acknowledged. It's like, it's almost like it's not even there. So they become an empty shell of a person. So they have no value. All value is gone. So again, this has to have been something that had to been developed, you know, years ago. You can, you know, I think real quick, I know that Viola is going to be talking about Chelsea Crisp. We talked about Chelsea Crisp. I don't know if you're going to be talking specifically about it because I know I looked at your flyer, and you had two people on that flyer. But if you're going to be talking about Chelsea Crisp, me and you talked about that when it happened. And I truly believe that that young lady did not notice her outside. She did not notice what she was doing outside because there was so much pain from the internal parts of herself.
Yeah.
And we see that every single day, every single day. And I truly believe that all I needed was 8 weeks with her, and I would have saved her life. Someone didn't tell her and didn't convince her that she was loved.
Yes.
That's the problem. We lose the love factor, my sister.
Yes.
We lose the love factor for ourselves and the love factor for everything called eternal life as well as external life. We lose that love factor. Because if you don't love life, life does not exist.
And being famous doesn't resolve
nothing.
The pain. Cause we've seen,
it don't matter.
We've seen famous people commit suicide. So
There's no acknowledgement. How can I acknowledge a jewel or a diamond when I don't even know that it's a diamond?
Absolutely.
You see what I'm saying?
That's
no
it?
Self-awareness. The eyes, the ears, all the senses are shut down when it comes to life. That's how suicide happens.
And what I'm going to talk about is the ego. Because Chesley and this person who I'm going to talk about were both successful models. External beauty that put them in front of a camera all the time making, what, lots of money. So their ego, that's what I'm going to talk about, is how the ego can fool you and the ego can persuade you and motivate you to do things that you wouldn't do if you didn't have all that limelight and popularity and making a lot of money. It tricks you. I'm sure, Dr. Degree, you can talk about the ego all day, do a whole show on that. But that's what I'm going to talk about tomorrow, is how these two people who had successful modeling careers because of their external beauty, and yet they became so, like you said, so out of touch with loving themselves instead of blowing up their ego.
Well, we got about 10 seconds, and then we're going to be cut off.
So we want to
thank everybody for joining us today. Join us tomorrow for Health, Well-Being, and Viata, and next week for part two with Dr. Debbie Green, Global Solutions. You got to join us.
We've come to the end of our show today. but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/thefemalesolution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Sheshe, India, Zanyaba, Japan, Arigato, Korea, Kamsamnida, Russia, Spasiba, Germany, Danke, Poland, Dziękuję, France, Merci, Spain, Gracias, Italy, Grazie, Egypt, Shukran, Ghana, Medasi, Nigeria, Eshe, South Africa, Ngiyabonga, Senegal, Jerez, Kenya, Asante, Israel, Toda, Pakistan, Shukriya, Afghanistan, Tashakor, Saudi Arabia, Shukran, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you, and may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.